we're going to get started right on the heels of that song. So that song talked about even when it hurts. It talks about even when it hurts like hell, even when all these terrible things happen, no matter what happens, I'll praise God. And a lot of us sang that just now, but maybe even as we were singing the words, it felt like, how are we really going to be able to do that? And maybe if you've been through something recently or you're going through something right now, maybe you even just stayed silent during that song. How can we praise God when everything is going wrong in our life? And I see some head nods even now, but when we look through the pages of the Bible, we see stories of lots of people who had terrible things they had to go through, and they had faith, and they stuck with God even when everything went wrong. And because of that, they did miraculous things in their communities, and they got to see God in ways that we can only imagine. So how do we become those sorts of people, the people that can praise God no matter what we suffer? Today's sermon's about a couple of steps to get us closer to that at least. Bob, get us started with the first step.
We're going to be reading from Romans chapter 5, so let's look at the first verse there. And the first verse says, "Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul has a bigger vocabulary than I have, and I've had to learn what some of these words mean. And the word justified is one of them. I knew some ideas, but I didn't know what was meant by it. So just to kind of give you an idea, we had a guy, he and I were actually talking and drinking a cup of coffee before the early service. And he said, "Do you ever get really loud and preach?" I said, "I used to, but Jake told me I couldn't do it anymore." No. All right. And he said, "Well, I was in a church and a guy preached for a minute and a half. And when he got through, I'm just through." And he got up and walked out. And everybody's like, "Whoa, what was going on?" But this part, his name is James. He said, "Jimbo," some of you might know him more by Jimbo. He said, it was just before he was getting ready to go serve a little bit of time in the state of Missouri. And God used it to touch him, and he got to crying, and he got his heart right with God, and something happened. And he's sitting in church, has been in church a whole bunch recently. What in the world takes place then? Here's what happened. Ezekiel says this. Ezekiel is an Old Testament prophet, and he said, promise from God, listen to this, "I will take out your hard heart. I'll remove it from you." Hard heart is, I've got to have it my way. I don't care about anybody else. I know what's best. Don't listen to anybody but me, mine, you know, that sort of stuff. He says, "I'll take out your heart." What does he replace it with? He says, "I will put my spirit in you, and you will come to life." And so what happened to him, and there's a whole bunch of folks here who have some pretty dramatic stories where the Lord took out that old, hard heart that was nothing but grief and pain and sorrow, and we caused chaos everywhere we went, and we were pretty miserable while we were doing it. He took that out of us, and he put his spirit in us to give us life. That's a fabulous gift from God. And so let's take the next step here. He says, "Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand." Grace is, God loves us even though when we're very unlovable. God reaches us even when nobody else could reach us. When we hit the very bottom and we look up, he who loves us gives us the power to do what we never dreamed we could ever do. What in the world is faith? I got Gabby and Shylin on the front row there saying, "We're going to go to children's worship." I don't blame you. I would too. Better than what we preach here. But at any rate, you all can't go. They just can. But when I was talking to them the other night, I just went behind a door and I knocked on the door because Jesus wanted to come into their life. And Gabby came to the door and she said, "Who's there?" That was our middle coaching. I said, "It's me, Pastor Bob." And she said, "Come in." She opened the door. That's what faith is. Now, not when I knock on your door, but when Jesus knocks on your door, he says, "I'd like to come in." And so as he comes to you and he speaks to you, you heard maybe something, you'll hear something maybe today. It is he who loves you more than you ever dreamed, who says, "I'd like to come into your life." And if you open that door, he will come in and make all the difference in the world. He'll take out that one heart that you've got. He'll put his spirit in, and he'll start you on a road to life. And I see some guys on about the third row nodding and saying, isn't that true? It sure is. So, Jake, why don't you take us from there?
So Bob has given us that first step of how you really start with God, opening that door of your life to God. Some people become Christians as adults. They haven't really known anybody else who's a Christian. And they're really shocked when they start following God. They get rid of a lot of their old habits. They start making better decisions. They hang around better people. And they really are, it feels like the rug's pulled out from under them when they still have problems, when they still have suffering, when there's still hardships they have to face that they didn't create. And when we go through suffering like that as Christians, how are we supposed to handle it? Because it's more than just stop hurting ourselves and stop hurting the people around us. God calls us to love other people. And if we're going to love other people in this planet, we're going to have some times when we suffer and some hard things that we go through. And so how do we open that door to faith? How do we keep going with Jesus even when we're suffering? So missionary we talked about last week, Bob, one of Bob's favorite authors, E. Stanley Jones, he says you've got two positive options you can take as a Christian when you suffer, when you follow God. Because all of us know the first option, which is just put in the white flag and to give up, to feel sorry for ourselves and run away from God. But E. Stanley Jones says there's two other roads you could take, and they both require faith. Here's the first one that he talks about. He says, either God will heal us from the infirmity. So this means if you have some sort of suffering in your body, or maybe someone who you care a lot about is gone, or maybe there's some sort of injustice that's a huge burden on your shoulders, whatever you're going through, E. Stanley Jones gives us permission to go to God and to say, God, please get me out of this problem I'm facing. Please heal me. Please take care of this pain. Sometimes we think, oh, well, that's just things that Jesus did in the New Testament or something. Well, that's the same Jesus that's here today. And so if you have something you're going through that's hard, go to God and say, God, heal me from this. Take this pain away. Jesus, we read about last week in the garden, right before he goes to the cross, he asks God, he says, God, please take this suffering away from me. So when we follow Jesus, it's okay to go to God and say, I don't want to suffer. This is hard. It's okay to open that door to our heart and say, God, this is how I feel because my body is failing me, or because this relationship is failing me, or because this group has been cruel to me, or whatever suffering you're going through. Some of us have taken that step, and we've gone, and we've gotten on our knees, and we've prayed, and we've tried to have faith, and we still get up the next day, and the pain is still there, or the person we love is still sick. So E. Stanley Jones went through a hard life too, and he knows that the answer doesn't just end there, because he says either he will heal us, here's the second part of his quote, or else God will give us the power to use the infirmity. So he uses that word power still. When you think about Jesus in the garden, he goes to the cross. Jesus asked for God to take the suffering away, but God said no to that. God allowed Jesus to go through something that was really unjust, go through this trial that was a mockery and be betrayed by his friends. And it hurt a lot of other people too. It hurt his other disciples. It hurt his family. It hurt Jesus, obviously. God let him go through all of that, but because Jesus prayed and gave that time over to God, God used that suffering to heal all of us. Justin is 2 years sober because of what Jesus did on the cross and then the ripple effects of that. So see, Jesus suffering with God, God's power used that to heal other people. And so when we're going through something hard, it's okay to say, God, save me out of this hardship. But if God doesn't save you out of it, our other option as Christians is to say, God, give me your power to use this for something good to come out of this, some way that I can help someone else who's going through the same thing, or maybe some way I can be changed. Downstairs in Sunday school, a couple different ladies shared how when they go through something hard, one of them said, it's like God is a blacksmith, and he's putting me through this fiery time and banging on my life, it feels like, but he's molding me into something beautiful. So, finish this quote from me, Sam Sailor says, in either case, it's a way out of the difficulty. When your life feels like it's taken over by suffering, if you go to God, you can get out of having that dominate your life, either because God will heal you or God will put you on an active path to use that suffering. It doesn't have to control you. So, I'm getting ahead of myself. The Romans passage we were just reading, Bob read us the first two verses. Here's verse 3. And Paul says the same stuff we're hearing from E. Stanley Jones. Paul says, not only so, talking about not only do we glory in our new life and in grace, but he says we also glory in our sufferings. This idea that we shine, we have an opportunity to shine for God when we suffer. That instead of like a normal person would run away from suffering, Paul says when we have a chance to suffer, it's actually a glorious opportunity. And that takes a different spin at it than most of us would take. Why is it so glorious to have a chance to suffer? This is what Paul says. He says, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. So see, when we go through suffering, we say, God, use this suffering in my life. I want to hand it over to you. Then God can produce perseverance in us. You can't read about perseverance. You can't read about someone running a marathon and then have more perseverance. You have to go through something to gain perseverance. So if we'll go through something with God, then he'll grow perseverance in us. And if we give our perseverance to God, if we say, I'm going to be faithful to you, God, then God will grow his character in us. We'll start to be more and more like Jesus is. And where does that character lead? That character leads to hope. And God says something awesome about this hope. He says that hope doesn't disappoint us. He says, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So see, when we come all the way over here, when we suffer with God and persevere and become more like God in our character, then we have this hope of new life. What that means is that our heart opens up more and more and more, and the Holy Spirit and Jesus comes in and fills us more and more and more. And that is kind of hard to explain, but you get a chance to live it out. For the girls that accepted Jesus and were baptized, they're full of Jesus right now. Jesus is filling their heart. But if they'll persevere with God over the course of their life, God will open them up bigger and bigger and bigger, and he'll keep filling them more and more and more. This is kind of a sidetrack, but I think this is really true. One of the things I've learned about pain is really hard to go through in life. But I feel like pain stretches your heart out. And it leaves you kind of feeling empty as you get stretched. But it gives that chance for God to come in and fill you more than he's ever filled you before. If you'll open up to him, even when you're going through pain. So, Bob, can you take us the next step?
Yeah, let's just take the next picture up here, and we're going to talk really quick about this. How many of you all like good times? Yes, indeed. How many of you all like bad times? Boo hiss. And I vote with that. Just a really quick little story from my life about where we're going with this, let's do it like this, okay? If we were in the Catholic Church today, and I were talking to you in thought processes that are very familiar in the Catholic Church, I'd use this picture as consolations, good time, crosses as bad time. That's just old Catholic spirituality that really has a good point. Many of us enjoyed the consolations. That's when our prayer life is good, everything's happy, everybody's doing well, we're having a good time. And that's a part of life, and we all would like that. But the truth is, there are times when we have crosses, we have bad times. Our prayer life seems like it's so dry, we're fighting with our wife, our husband, our friends, our neighbors, we have a car wreck, our job looks pretty bad. I mean, you know how that goes, all right? I see some people saying, yeah, that's it. Well, in the middle of those bad times, we can glory. And we talked earlier in the service, I'm going to say it again. There are some words that we use that we don't understand. Glory is probably one of them. Okay, there's a bunch of words we use and we throw them around, but glory is one of them. Glory means to pull back the cover and reveal what's there. And so if you glorify God, you basically pull back the cover and you see who he is. And that's a tremendous thing for us to do, because God has a character that is literally out of sight. It's unbelievable. But we also, when we pull back the cover, we know what's in here. And it's important for us to do that. It's important for us to have times where we pull back the cover of our lives and to look at the inside of who we are and say, am I making progress or not? Jake has a really good illustration to give us about a guy who not only pulled back the cover, we see the incredible guy this fella is, because he's an amazing fella, but he learned who he was, and then he was able to do, as E. Stanley Joes, take his suffering and not bear with it. Okay, I'm suffering. Wonderful. But rather, he was able to use it. So, Jake, take us through this real quick.
Yeah, so sometimes it's hard to imagine. You know, Bob and I talk about, oh, wouldn't it be great in these kind of big ways if we could use suffering? What does it actually look like? So this is a guy named Phil, and Phil was an artist. He went to art school. His whole goal was to do this type of art. And, oops, bounced a little too far ahead. I can't get this to go back. Glenn, can you bounce back to the last slide for me? Okay. So he'd do this type of art where, maybe you've seen this, where there's lots of little itty-bitty dots, but it makes this portrait. Shane Campy and I were talking about this the other day, and he knows the name for it, and I've forgotten it.
Stipple.
Stipple, okay.
You all should know that. Do not forget it.
Okay, so anyways, this was the only type of art he liked to do. And so all through college, he's using a pencil and just doing this constantly to make these illustrations. So he's making tons of little dots. Always having to do so many of them that his hand starts to hurt and his wrist starts to hurt. And so he's kind of getting a little shaky in his hand. So he just grips his pencil tighter and just keeps making more illustrations. Well, his shake gets worse, and so he just grips tighter, and it gets worse, and he grips tighter, and it gets worse, and he grips tighter and tighter, until finally his hand is doing this all the time. Like, he can't control it. He just has this, like, shake always in his wrist. And it's so bad. I mean, you can't do this type of art and have this happening with your wrist. And so he drops out of art school. He quits art school. He's working some other random little job for multiple years, and he's not happy with his life, but he thinks, I can't do it. I can't do what I wanted to do. And some of you might be thinking, I have a real problem. I didn't have to drop out of art school. You know, I'm going through real suffering. Well, Phil, this was Phil's dream, and it's a good metaphor for us of what he had to go through. So this is the straightest line that Phil could draw by the time he dropped out of art school. So that's as straight as he could get. So he went to a doctor finally after a couple years because the shake is continuing. And the doctor told him, yeah, sure enough, you've permanently damaged the nerves in your wrist because of all the pressure you put on your wrist. But then the doctor said, the doctor didn't heal him, but the doctor said something to him that unlocked something new for this guy. And I think sometimes this is how God talks to us. God doesn't always come in and heal us. Sometimes he gives us a new perspective. So the doctor said, so you're an artist and your hand shakes, so why don't you embrace the shake? And that phrase, embrace the shake, it changed Phil's life. He went home and he thought, okay, so I'm an artist and I have a shaky hand. So he started drawing, and this is the sort of stuff he could draw. So it's really scribbly stuff. But if I zoom out a little bit, this is one of the first things he drew, okay? So it's all scribbles, but then he's still an artist, but he's just not using dots anymore. Now he's using scribbles instead. So this idea that being limited can actually help him create something new took Phil in a whole nother direction.
I wondered, could you become more creative then by looking for limitations? What if I could only create with a dollar's worth of supplies? At this point, I was spending a lot of my evenings in, well, I guess I still spend a lot of my evenings in Starbucks, but I know you can ask for an extra cup if you want one. So I decided to ask for 50. Surprisingly, they just handed them right over, and then with some pencils I already had, I made this project for only 80 cents. It really became a moment of clarification for me that we need to first be limited in order to become limitless. I took this approach in thinking inside the box to my canvas and wondered, what if instead of painting on a canvas, I could only paint on my chest? So I painted 30 images, one layer at a time, one on top of another, with each picture representing an influence in my life. Or what if instead of painting with a brush, I could only paint with karate chops? So I dipped my hands in paint, and I just attacked the canvas, and I actually hit so hard that I bruised a joint in my pinky, and it was stuck straight for a couple weeks. Or what if instead of relying on myself, I had to rely on other people to create the content for the art? So for 6 days, I lived in front of a webcam, I slept on the floor, and I ate takeout. And I asked people to call me and share a story with me about a life-changing moment. Their stories became the art as I wrote them onto the revolving canvas.
So that was just a little clip of the video. Scott is actually doing a live stream of the sermon. It's on our Facebook page. I'll put a comment there with the rest of that video if you want to check that out later. But so embrace the limitation is kind of the end of his talk, though. This idea that being limited can actually be a source of creativity. The things that we think like, oh, I can't do this thing I wanted to do. By being limited, if you just open up and say, what could I do? It opens up all sorts of new thoughts. I'm blessed to be in a small group here on Wednesday nights. You should all get into a small group if you're not. But my small group, I've got guys in there who have lost their licenses, or guys in there who aren't living with, they're forced living in a situation where they don't want to be living in, or they don't have the job they want to have. And yet, they find all these creative ways to serve God, building ramps for folks here at church, all sorts of stuff. Because when you say, God, I don't have a car, or when you say, God, I don't have a super fancy job, but what I have, I'll give you, God will work with that. God knows exactly what you're going through. And if God wanted you to be in a different situation, then God would take care of it. But God wants mostly for you to give him your situation, whatever it is. And so if you're full of pain right now, then that's what you have to give to God. To say, I've got this struggle, and I'm going to give it over to you. And when Phil said, I've got this shake, but I'm going to embrace it. That's who I am. I'm going to see what I can do, even though I'm suffering. Imagine if we here at Maywood said, I've got some sort of problem, but I'm going to do what I can do within that problem. What could God do with our scribbles if we'd give them over to him? Today, we're about to enter into the most special time of our whole service. This is a sacred time where we get to respond to God. So far, we've sang praises to God, and we've listened to his word. We've listened to some thoughts about it. But now's your chance to say, God, I want to choose some sort of way to follow you. So we call the time of response. We've got people down front happy to pray with you. You can stay where you're at and respond. But this is a little window. It's a little 10 minutes that we give to God, and we say, I'm going to make a choice on how I'm going to change when I go out from here. Let me pray. God, I know a lot of us are going through suffering here in the room today. God, I pray that you would heal us from that suffering. But God, if that's not your plan, I pray that you would give us the power to use that suffering with you, that we would shine in the midst of our pain. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.